Startups dreaming up new products? Guess what? The global chip shortage is hurting them too. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Mary Elsegarra, in for Molly Wood. The shortage of semiconductors that has shut down some car factories isn't going away anytime soon, even though the companies that make chips are building new factories and promising to ramp up production. And the thing is, there are computer chips in everything these days. Like, look around you right now. If you're at home, maybe you see your laptop or your internet router. They have chips. That's kind of obvious. But there could also be a chip in your toaster oven or your light switch or your electric toothbrush. Hal Hodson is a technology correspondent at The Economist. He says the chip shortage is causing delays for all kinds of products, especially the ones you don't even own yet.
In some ways, I think the shortage is hitting people who are trying to build new stuff the worst. It's one thing to not be able to get your product. It's another thing to have your company falling over because you can't make any progress. I've heard about, for instance, companies that make radar chips who are not able to get anything supplied anymore. And radar chips, you might find them in, for instance, autonomous cars. It's one of the ways that the car watches the road to see what's out ahead. And so if you think about that, that's definitely going to be inhibited by the supply crunch right now, and probably new companies that are either failing or at least going to take, you know, a couple more years to come to market because of this, because, you know, things are backed up until 2023.
Can companies just use other, maybe less advanced chips to make their new products?
They can. It's not going to be ideal because you're not going to be working with the technology that ultimately you want to use. So it's a bit of a trade-off. You also won't necessarily have a super easy time finding those. One of the problems and the reason that this supply crunch is so bad right now is because the number of producers of chips has been going down and down and down over the last 30 years, really. And the market for their production is now really, really concentrated. But that kind of thing is certainly happening. And I know about plenty of startups that are trying to take alternative approaches, use different chips and change their whole product around as a result.
With startups having to scrounge around for chips and delay plans, what do you think the impact of that is going to be? Like, will we see fewer new devices in a year or so?
I genuinely think we probably will. And bear in mind that a lot of new devices come out from big companies like, you know, Google and Apple. And I think we're less likely to see delays in those sorts of things. But even still, I think it's totally plausible that we will see delays, probably not in a year, because the life cycle of creating a new piece of electronics is longer than that. So I would actually say in more like 2, 3, 4 years, you're likely to see the impact of this, maybe in delays in products that you were expecting to come out, but most likely in kind of more niche innovative areas. I think delays to autonomous cars are reasonably likely, even though they're already delayed. And definitely there will be a bunch of startups that no one ever hears about because they won't make it, because this has just made their business of assembling, you know, a new piece of electronics too difficult.
This is coming at a time when so many products use computer chips, especially things that are smart devices. So do you think some companies might make more dumb products in the next few years?
A part of me thinks that would be smart. If you think about buying a big television, it's almost impossible to get a big television that doesn't come with an internet connection these days. And that's reasonable given that so many people rely on streaming. But what a lot of people do is plug in some other device that does the streaming for them. And so I could totally see there being a market for TVs that are not smart. They would still have chips in them, of course, but they would definitely need less chips and a lower variety of chips. I could see that kind of product making sense. But I think inexorably the trend is towards more chips and more stuff. And even if there were a niche for kind of dumber devices, and, you know, I'd probably consider myself to be interested in those sorts of devices, and I'm sure maybe lots of listeners would be, the overall trend is more chips and more stuff. So I'm afraid even if that worked for some small percentage of companies that want to market new ideas and new products to folks, overall, I think the crunch would still be here.
Hal Hodson is a technology correspondent at The Economist. And now for some related links. As we put this show together, I got kind of obsessed with figuring out which items in my apartment have a chip in them. Still not sure about my electric toothbrush. I mean, it's not the smartest device. It's not connected to the internet, and I am perfectly happy with that. But it does tell me when I'm brushing too hard and when to stop, so I think it might be chipped. Now, there are all kinds of chips. Some store data, some process information, some render graphics. Investopedia has a write-up explaining the different kinds. And if you want to understand how this global chip shortage happened, CNBC has a really helpful piece on this. It goes into the backstory and the geopolitics that are involved here. Part of the problem is people buying more computers during the pandemic. But environmental disasters have played a role too. The deep freeze in Texas and a recent earthquake in Japan have both forced chip makers to close factories temporarily. Something that could make the chip shortage even worse? 2/3 of the world's computer chips are made in Taiwan. And right now, according to the Wall Street Journal, Taiwan is facing its worst drought in half a century. And turns out, you need a lot of water to make computer chips. I'm Marielle Segarra, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.